worship this morning. We're here to be inspired and lifted up by the Holy Word. And God speaks, and it's our privilege and our potential to listen so that we can be everything He wants us to be. I remember an old story about a rich man in Louisiana who was throwing a huge party. He had an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and he had some of his workers to fill it with some alligators. And the guest came in, and he made a big proposal. He said, anybody can swim from the length, one end of this pool to the other, I will give them $10,000. So there was quite a stir, a hush. All of a sudden, there was a splash. And they looked, and a man was swimming across the pool. He was zigzagging, trying to dodge alligators. He even wrestled with an alligator or two. And he came out on the other side unscathed. And the owner, the rich man, came to him and said, I'm about to give you $10,000. You did it. I didn't think anybody would even attempt it. He said, what were you thinking when you jumped into the pool? He said, I just wanted to know who pushed me in. Now, this morning, I want us to realize that God is here to push us. Now, He's not going to push us into shark or alligator-infested waters, but He is going to push us out of our comfort zone if we will just listen and allow Him to. We get comfortable. We get, even in church, we get comfortable. How many of you sit in the same section each week or even the same row, maybe the same chair, because we get comfortable, don't we? And when we greet the same people we greet every Sunday because they're in our small little section. Let's allow God today as we continue in talking about walking into God's purpose. We've talked about Ruth and how she walked into God's purpose. Last week we talked about Abraham and how Abraham listened to God and did what God asked him to do, and he walked into God's purpose. Today we're going to take a look at Moses and see how Moses walked into God's purpose. God has the same plan, same purpose for you. He has a plan that He wants you to walk into. We can choose to walk around God's purpose. We can choose to walk away from God's purpose. But I think most of us here this morning, at least in our mind, when we're thinking biblically, we want to walk into God's purpose, don't we? Because we know God knows best, and He's already on the other side. I'm reminded of a story about a father and his little boy riding in an airplane one day, and there was a storm, big thunderstorm, and they were above the storm, and the little boy looked out the window, and he saw a rainbow. And he said, look, Daddy, we're seeing the rainbow from the same side God sees it. And we need to remember that God already sees what we're going through, and He's encouraging us to run the race, to finish the course, and to walk in that light. We're going to read from Exodus chapter 4. You shouldn't have any trouble finding that. Even if you have a traditional Bible, it's the second book in the Old Testament. We'll have the verses on the screen, Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. As we talked this morning about how Moses was commanded by God to, what you got in your hand, Moses, lay it down, lay it down. I'm reading from the New International Version. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? And then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground. It became a snake, and he ran from it. And then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's full of wisdom. And Lord, we pray this morning that your hand will bless your word and allow us to hear and to understand and receive the word this morning you have for us so that we can be lifted up and know what direction to go, choices to make, decisions that are out there in front of us. Lord, help us to be led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We have a quote. It should be up on the screen from Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin, years ago, he said, he who is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else. Excuses. We all are pretty good at making excuses. I'm right in there with the best of us. We hear about what our responsibility is, what we should do. What do we wind up doing a lot of the time? We make excuses, don't we? We may be invited to do something we really don't want to do, or maybe to go somewhere we don't want to go, and what do? We'll make excuses. They may be good excuses, but we come up with excuses. If we're late to something, late to work or late to school or even late to church, what's our tendency? What do we all? We'll make excuses as to why we're late. Excuses. If we need to go to the doctor, and I know men are worse about this, what do we do instead of not going to the doctor for our regular checkup? We make excuses, don't we? When it's time to exercise and cut back and maybe lose some weight and get in better health, we make excuses as to why we can't get started right now. When we make mistakes, instead of just saying, my fault, what do? Most of the time, or at least a lot of the time, we'll make excuses. Well, Moses was one of the best persons in all the Old Testament. And when you put in all the Bible, we could say that he was one of the greatest, because the Bible tells us that he was the meekest person on earth, yet he had some issues with making excuses. And I want us to look at those this morning so that we can learn to get to the preferred future God has for us. Moses, in the section we're looking at, he made four excuses for not doing what God wanted him to do. Exodus chapter 1, chapter 2, Moses was born. You know the story. He was hid in a basket that was coated with tar in the edge of the Nile, because Pharaoh had said all the little Israel boys had to be killed. But Moses' mother knew there was something special about Moses, so he was hid in the bulrushes. And Pharaoh's daughter found him. A servant was going down and saw what was in the basket, took it to Pharaoh's daughter. So early years of his life, he was raised as a prince. But as he got older, he made a huge mistake. And one day he went out to see what was happening with his Israelite brothers. And there was a taskmaster, an Egyptian taskmaster, who was beating one of the Israelis. And Moses looked right and left and didn't see anybody. So he killed the Egyptian. And then the next day, he was trying to give some advice to a couple of Hebrews, a couple of Israelites. And they said, what are you going to do? You going to kill one of us? And then he knew that folks knew what. So what did he do? He ran. He went and hid in Midian for 40 years. First 40 years of his life, he had it made. He was a prince. We're going to pick up the story. The second 40 years of his life, he's on the backside of a desert tending sheep. First 40 years of his life, he thought he was somebody special. It took 40 years in the desert to realize he was a nobody. And then we're going to finally get to the part, the last segment of his life, he became the person God wanted him to be, because he got past making his excuses. Excuse number one, and I think all of us can fall into this pattern if we're not careful, because we're human beings and we'll make excuses. First excuse is found in chapter 3, verse 11. God has called Moses to go to Pharaoh and to bring his people out of Egypt. Verse 10. Verse 11, here's his first excuse. So Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? First excuse, who am I? I can't do it. Moses could look at his past and say, Lord, God, you saw what I've done. I've made a mess of things. I was a colossal failure. And you want me to go back there, back to Egypt? I'm still wanted for murder. And then the second excuse about who am I? I can't do this is my age. Moses could have said, God, I'm 80 years old. It's time for me to be retiring, not to go back to Egypt. Who am I? Have you ever... When God has put his finger upon your heart and asked you to get involved in something, whether it's church-related, work-related, family-related, community-related, you said, who am I, Lord? And here's what God countered how he countered that excuse. God said, Moses, I'll be with you. In other words, Moses, that's enough. If you've got me with you, you can do it. So don't say, who am I? I can't do that. Just realize that the Lord is with you. Is the Lord with you? Shake your head up and are you out there this morning? Is the Lord with you? Have you invited Christ Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, to come in and give you resurrection power? Then don't say, well, who am I? I can't. Hear God say, I am with you. I'll be with you. I like what Isaiah wrote years later. It's found in chapter 43. Isaiah prophesied and said, here's what the Lord says to us. I'm the one who's redeemed you. I have purchased you. When you go through the waters, they won't overcome you. And when you go through the rivers won't overwhelm you. And when you go through the fire, you won't be burned. You notice he said when all those things happen. We live in a fallen world and there's circumstances all around us that we would say, I don't want to enter into. But God says, when you have to do things that you don't want to do, when things are happening around you that you don't expect nor want, just remember, it's not going to harm you. It's not going to hurt you because God said through Isaiah, tell him, I am with you. I like what James Rowe in 1912 wrote a gospel hymn called Love Lifted Me. Some of you are familiar with that song? James Rowe, one of the verses says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Oh, love lifted me, he said, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. So let's not use the excuse, who, me? I can't do that, Lord. You got to call somebody else, not me. Let's just hear God say, well, I'll be with you. No matter whatever I ask you, whatever course you take. If you're walking into my purpose, then I'm with you. That's all you need because I will protect you. I will provide for you. Second excuse, look down in verse 13. So God said, I'm going to be with you, and I'm even going to give you a sign. When you lead the people out of Egypt, you and all the people are going to worship right here on Mount Horeb. Is that the kind of sign you would ask? I would be tempted to say, Lord, I need a sign right now. I don't want a sign after the fact. I need your sign right now. And as I was thinking about that this week, I got to thinking, well, God had just revealed a sign to him. He came upon a bush in the desert that was burning. And the bush didn't stop burning. It just kept burning. It wouldn't burn up. And it got Moses' attention, so he walked over to see what was happening. And that's when the Lord began to speak to him. So Moses is directly, he's been given a sign. God is speaking to him out of the bush that won't burn up. So the Lord says, here's what's going to happen. After you lead the Israelites out of Egypt, you're going to worship me right here on this mountain. Now, that leads to the second excuse, verse 13. Moses said, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of our fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? What if they say to me, Moses, this God, what's his name? The first excuse was wrapped around our inability. We say, I can't do that. The second excuse is wrapped around inadequacies. I may not know enough. I may get stuck. They may ask me a question that I can't answer. Have you ever refused to teach a class, to get up and speak in front of a group? We say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know all the biblical answers. What if somebody asks me a question I can't answer? Moses was asking that same kind of, he was giving that same kind of excuse. What if they say, who is this God that sends you here? What will I say, God? And the Lord answered that excuse. Dear friends, I want you to know this morning, whatever excuse you've got, God's got an answer for it. So God answered this excuse with a great answer. You tell them that I am has sent you. That I am. The great I am. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I'm the God of I am. I'm not yesterday's God, I'm not tomorrow's God, I am. And Jesus put some closure on that I am, didn't he? In John's gospel, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So let's not let that excuse of inadequacies keep us from being the persons that walk into God's purpose. Because Jesus said, I am the bread. What do you need? You need bread? You need life? I'm the bread of life. You come to me. When I was in the fourth or fifth grade, I was attending an elementary school in Talladega, Alabama, Bemiston Elementary. All the kids were taking polio vaccines. This is the time when polio was still pretty bad. And the parsonage, my dad was a pastor, was right across the street from the church, from the school. So I remember we had to walk down to the corner and across and then over instead of just going right across the street. I walked in and got the polio vaccine. I remember it was on a little sugar cube. The medicine, the vaccine for polio was put on the little sugar cube. And they handed all the kids the sugar cube. And then we ate the sugar cube. And in taking the sugar cube, you know what also we got? We got the medicine. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Do you need help? We are sin ravaged. We're fallen. We have a disease we can't get rid of ourselves. But he's here this morning saying, I am the living bread. Come to me. He says, I am the light of the world. You won't walk in darkness if you're following me. You walk into my purpose, you'll be walking in light. He said, I am the door. Remember Moses said, what am I going to say? And God said, tell them, I am sent you. And Jesus said, I am. I am life. I am light. I am the door. Jesus grew up in a carpenter shop. He knew what a door was all about. Every house has got a door, and you have to go through the door to get into the house. Jesus is saying to us this morning, I am the door. You come through me and you'll have life. You'll have the living bread. You'll have the light of the world. He said, I am the true vine. They're false vines, and they're heading in every direction. But you come to me, and the Holy Spirit will be giving you everything you need because I'm the true vine. You abide in me, and I'll abide in you, and you'll have the spiritual fruit that you desire. He said, I'm the good shepherd in John 11. Jesus is the good shepherd because we're sheep, and what happened to sheep without a shepherd? We get lost. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and life, he tells us. I'm life. I'm resurrection power. We saw that last week in Moses. Moses experienced that resurrection as he symbolically saw his son Isaac raised from the dead. Jesus is resurrection. Hey, I read a story about a park out in California. Someone had attached a rope to a rock, and it was just hanging there. And there was a sign beside it. It said, if you want a weather report, check the rock. And then underneath it, it said, if the rock is moving, it's windy. If the rock is wet, it's raining. If the rock is dry, it's not raining. If you can't see the rock, it's foggy. If the rock is gone, there's been a tornado. Check the rock. I want to tell you this morning, check the rock. Look at the tomb this morning. The rock's been rolled away. Somebody say amen. Aren't you thankful? You check the rock and you look inside and you'll find it's empty because Jesus is alive. He's the resurrection. Jesus said, I am resurrection and I am life. And then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can find life. No one can make it to the Father except through me. Moses said, what am I going to say? If they say, who is this God? He's the great I am. And he hasn't changed, has he? He's here today. The great I am is here today to give us whatever we need. Do you need to come to the door to enter in? Do you need the bread of life to have sustenance, spiritual sustenance? Do you need to experience power? Then experience the resurrection of Jesus. At the end of the message, we're going to have an anointing line right here in front of the pulpit. And I've got some anointing oil, and anybody that wants to be anointed to experience that great I am, I'm going to anoint. You come, and you be letting your faith be realized that when Pastor Mike takes that anointing oil and places it on my forehead and marks a cross, I'm going to trust Jesus to be the great I am. What the Holy Spirit speaking to everybody in here this morning right now, whatever it is, I want to come and get involved. I want anointing. I want the Holy Spirit to touch me today. So we'll have a season of ministering, letting the Holy Spirit just have his way. So you come ready to receive that touch from God. Third excuse, found in chapter 4, the passage we read this morning. Verse 1, Moses said, "What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you?" This excuse we could call based on what if they ignore me? What if they don't pay any attention? What if they don't even listen to me? What if they don't believe? And God said, "Moses, what you got in your hand?" And Moses said, "Well, Lord, you know, this is just a staff, a shepherd's staff, shepherd's crook, a rod." And the Lord said, "Moses, throw it down." And Moses obeyed, and he did. It turned into a snake, and Moses started running from the snake. And then what did God say? "Pick it up." He didn't just say, "Pick it up." He said, "Pick it up by the tail." I don't pick up snakes unless they're dead. But if I were to pick up a snake, I think I got enough sense to know I'm not going to pick one up by the tail. If I'm going to pick up a snake, it's going to be right behind the head so it can't turn around and zap me. God said, "Pick it up by the tail." And again, Moses is obedient, and he reached down and did. And the snake turned back into the staff. But all that staff was different from that day on, from that moment on. Now it's an anointed staff. And God said, "Moses, you just take that staff." If people wonder why you're here, if they wonder about your calling, if they wonder about the God you serve, if they won't listen, if they won't believe, you just remember you got the power of God in this staff. And when we come for anointing this morning, I think God's going to say to us, "Lay down your staff." What is it this morning that you need to lay down so that you can have God's anointing, God's power, God's blessing? The fourth excuse is found down in verse 10 of this same chapter. Moses said to the Lord, "Lord, pardon me, I'm just your servant now. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow in speech and tongue." This excuse, we could say, was wrapped around his infirmity. He said, I can't talk. I'm tongue-tied. I wish I had a dollar for everybody in the church in 35 years of ministry said, "Pastor, I can't talk in front of people. I can't get up and say anything. I can't." What did God say to Moses when Moses said, "I can't go, God. I can't talk. I can't get up in front of people and talk. I don't have time this morning to talk about my past. I've done that enough. But I was a Moses, and I said, God, I can't. I can't, Pastor." Moses said, "I can't talk." What did God say? God said, "Moses, who made your mouth? Who made your ears? Who made your tongue? Who made your hands? I made you. Don't you think I can help you?" Well, this morning, as we're beginning a new year and we're talking about walking into God's purpose, Pastor Chris mentioned early on our vision statement of believing, belonging, so that we can become. When we say, "Okay, God, I'm going to lay down what I got in my hand. I don't want there to be any hindrances, anything keeping me from what you're wanting to do, so that, Lord, I can become. I believe, I trust you. You're my life, and I'm a part of a local congregation. I'm part of a small group even. Maybe I'm part of two small groups. I'm part of a Sunday school class on Sunday. I meet in another small group Wednesday. Some of you are probably involved in three small groups. That's wonderful. But the last step, becoming, laying down our rod, laying down our staff, laying down the thing that prevents us, and allowing God to anoint it, so that our lives can be blessed and filled. Because that staff represented Moses' personality. When God said, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "That's a staff." Moses was a shepherd. First 40 years of his life, he was a prince. But he spent 40 years being a shepherd. That shepherd was what he used to lead the sheep, to guide the sheep, to direct the sheep, to protect the sheep, to climb up and down steep hills. Maybe God's saying, lay down Whatever it is your personality. Whatever it is you're doing, lay it down. It represented his problems, that staff did. I'm sure it cut to the heart when God said, what is that in your hand? Because at one time, he had a scepter in his hand. One time, he held the world by the tail. He was in line to be the next Pharaoh, the next king of Egypt. But now he's just, what's he got? He's just got a shepherd, just an old dead stick, just a shepherd's crook. But it also represented his potential. Because little is much when God is in it. Somebody say amen. Aren't you thankful for that? What God asked for, Moses had. God didn't ask Moses for anything he didn't already possess. And he will not ask out of you or me anything that we don't possess. What is it that you've got in your hand? Well, it's just the staff, Lord. It's all I've got. I'm just a poor sheep. I don't even own these sheep. These are Jethro's sheep. I'm just his son-in-law. I'm just taking care of his sheep. Lay it down, Moses. And when Moses laid the staff down, it was changed forever. And God used that staff to lead the Israelites out of Egypt as he, with that staff, without anointed staff, the Red Sea was parted. Water came out of the rock. The Amalekites were defeated. All Moses had to do was hold up that rod, that staff that was anointed. Close with verse 20. So Moses took his wife and his sons, put them on a donkey, started back to Egypt, and he took the staff of God in his hand. Did you notice the change? He took the staff of God. Now, he had laid down his staff, and God said, okay, Moses, you've given it to me, now pick it back up. And that's the staff of God. It's anointed. It's powerful. It's blessed. When I was just a kid, I heard a story about a missionary when our country was being settled who went to minister to Native Americans, to a tribe of Indians. And he shared the gospel with the entire tribe, but there was the chief's son, a prince, was, you could tell the Holy Spirit was working on him. He was listening. And the missionary shared the gospel with him. And one day, the missionary saw the young Indian prince kneeling, and he was praying. And the missionary heard the Indian say, God, I lay down blanket. And nothing changed, nothing happened. And then the young Indian said, God, I lay down my tomahawk. Nothing happened. And then the Indian prayed, God, I lay down my pony. Nothing happened. And then finally the young Indian said, God, I lay down Indian. And that's when the victory came. Would you lay down your staff, your life, whatever it is God's asking you to do this morning, so that that resurrection power, that victory can come? We talk in Celebrate Recovery about hurts and habits and hang-ups. Everybody in here this morning has hurts. You've got some habits and you got some hang-ups. You may say, I don't have any habits. Well, what are we talking about this morning? Making excuses. Hurts. We're all hurt at some point. We're all broken. We need the redemption of the cross to lift us up and put us on solid foundation. We all got hang-ups that we need to say, God, I'm laying them down this morning. And then God will say, okay, you've given me your all. Now, I'm giving it back to you. Now it's blessed. It's anointed. Let's pray. I want to ask our praise team to come up, and we'll have our anointing line. And then after we do that, we'll sing our sending forth song. Let's pray together. Lord, we've heard your word today. If I've misspoke or if I have gotten too far, Lord, out of the center of your will, your word, I pray that we'll already have forgotten it. But Lord, what your spirit says this morning, I pray that you'll minister in our hearts, in our heart of hearts, and that we'll hear you say, what is that in your hand? Lay it down. Give it to me so that God can anoint. Lord, I pray that these next few moments will be powerful as we relinquish, as we give up, as we surrender, as Indian lays down Indian. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.